to the Classic Cult TV Club, where we watch cult TV from 20 years ago and before. And today we're here with Baylor.
Hello.
Angus.
Hello.
Mackenzie.
Hello.
Lisa.
Hey.
Alex.
Hey.
Jeanette.
Hi.
And I'm Justin. And
hey.
Today...
Hey.
Hi. Hi. That's me.
And good morning, Justin.
And what are we watching this morning?
Sir, Angus is picking on me.
Stop that, Angus. What are we watching today, Angus?
Well, it's my pick, and for it, I have chosen Tintin.
Adventures of Tintin.
Yeah.
So this is the TV series, and not
TV
the movie.
Series, yeah. The TV series very, very closely follows the original comics by Herge and Herge. Yeah, I'm sorry. Herge. Yeah. So we're going to be checking out a few of those.
And this says here it's from sort of the 80s, 90s, or late 91 to 92.
That sounds about right. Yeah.
Old.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think I was about 10. This used to be on ABC.
Yeah, afternoons. Yeah,
I was on ABC, was it?
Yeah. Like on your 5 o'clock. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They predate me, regretfully.
So. Oh, yeah. so you watched it.
I've watched it, but
on ABC.
The production of them predated me.
But you still got to see it on
TV.
So what made you pick Adventures of Tintin?
Okay, so I'm a big Tintin fan. I grew up reading Tintin. I remember at the library, they had a bunch of Tintin books. And whenever anyone got into the library, it was a race to the Tintin books. I thought of Asterix and Obelisk.
Yeah, they used to all be in the same section in the library where I went to primary school.
Everyone would race for the Asterix books because they had more
violence. So we've got a pile of them in front of us, don't we? We've got The Secret of the Unicorn.
I'm pretty sure when I was a kid, there was a big pile of Asterix and Tintin books and no one touched them.
No, that was the thing. I think no one touched them and everyone went for the Asterix books. And so I would pick up the Tintin books because I enjoyed them just as much.
You got the sloppy seconds.
I want to say more intellectual than the Asterix books. The Asterix books were very much the Romans attack, they drink magic potion, they beat up the Romans. And some of the individual stories were really entertaining, really good fun to read. And I do enjoy them quite a bit. But Tintin I found was more kind of intellectual.
Because Asterix is like French and Tintin was Belgium, is that right?
Yeah,
I think it's like both have a massive following in Europe, but they just kind of didn't...
Yeah.
I think until the cartoon came out of Tintin, I think they just were a little bit too obscure for Australian audiences.
Yeah, I think they're completely unknown in the US. And
oh, in the US as well,
Completely unknown there.
So you've watched Tintin, Lisa.
The TV series and the movie.
Baylor, have you seen it before? Or?
I've seen it and read it.
You've seen it and read it, okay?
Oh, you're one up on me.
Yeah.
Movie and series.
Mm-hmm.
Nice, yeah.
Angus obviously has.
I think I've read them all. I haven't watched every single episode because they follow the comics very, very closely, and I've read them all.
This is either 21 total.
Oh, yeah, I've watched the movie so many times.
The movie is really good.
I'm a big fan of pirates. Yeah. Just generally, and then that movie was just like...
Mackenzie, have you watched the movie of Tintin?
A little bit.
We
watched it recently. A little bit is code for I watched it, but I kept kind of getting distracted because...
Yeah.
We tried to get her to watch it when she was younger, and she was just like, I am not interested in this at all. But I think she's getting closer to the age where she's getting into it now, like she gets it.
I love the pirate ship battle in that movie. It's still the best thing.
It's amazing.
I just think, what's his name?
Captain Haddock.
Captain Haddock. And because that's the guy who plays Captain Haddock in the movie or does the acting, which is then animated. Right. He's the same guy who does, like, he's in Lord of the Rings and he's in
Andy Serkis.
Andy Serkis, they just do such a good job with just the voice and the emoting. You had to kind of keep going, like, I know it's like they've rendered this from the acting and then they've rendered it into a 3D animation, but it's just so much emoting for a cartoon character. It's really good.
Alex, have you seen this before?
I remember watching it, but it was so long ago. I was more of an Asterix fan.
I liked Asterix. Definitely one or they were definitely opposed here in Australia.
Oh yeah, one or the other.
Did you watch the movie?
I did watch the movie, but I watched it in 3D. I just decided this is a movie which I discovered that I did not like 3D movies.
Ah.
So I was too distracted by that to actually pay attention to the plot or anything. So yeah, I need to watch it again.
That little fad where they tried to do everything in 3D
and it kind of fell flat. It was too distracting and motion blurry.
Yeah, exactly.
It will undeniably return as well with the new Avatar movie being made.
But it'll come back as a novelty, I think.
Yeah, it's just one novelty.
That's like what Gen Z has been doing. Once it's dead, they'll be like, ironically, this is great.
Yeah. To be fair, Avatar is probably the only movie 3D was good for because of the environment. Mm. Everything was designed.
I still think it was awful, honestly, but then I couldn't watch 3D movies.
Can I share a secret? I've never seen the movie Avatar.
You're not missing out.
And you know, there were so many people that were like, oh, it's so brilliant, it's so good. And then there were so many people that were kind of going, honestly, I know your taste and you are not missing anything. And I just went, you know what? This is good for me. I won't watch
it. The story and characters were both pretty bland. The environment design is the only thing worth watching the movie for.
But I find that
you might as well just put it on a slideshow.
But then, to me, I kind of go, this is going back to the spaceship porn that we talk about. It's like that type of thing just really does nothing for me. And I kind of go, so what's actually going on with the character development?
I've also heard a lot of amazing stuff about the world building, like how it went into massive details about stuff. Mm. But like, if the movie itself is boring, then it's not really the point.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah.
Jeanette, have you watched Tintin?
Watched it. Like when the kids were young on ABC.
Okay.
And I really liked it. I thought it was very well done. So when we went to Belgium, went to the museum.
The Tintin Museum?
Well, it wasn't just Tintin. It was different. Herge. It was mainly Herge, but Herge. But other graphic artists as well. So
it was Australia, mate. It was Herge.
Herge. Oh, no, it's Australian Herge.
I think I'm reading it somewhere. It's actually based on his initials in French. Mm. It's RG. Well, it's GR, but RG spells Herge in French. Mm. That's why it's his name.
So, yeah, no, it was all graphic artists in Belgian graphic art.
Right.
Just comic art.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah, they had some of the original stuff. Unfortunately, by the time we got there, we'd been up since 4 a.m.
So this was all sort of
1950s, wasn't it? When this was all.
So there are some problematic aspects to it. It definitely comes across.
It's also even to the point where I've heard the first two volumes, they basically had to restart it because it was so. It was like one of them was basically legitimizing Belgian colonization Africa. And like,
Yes, the Belgians win.
I remember some in the school library with some blackface and things like that, and I kind of went, oh, I don't know about this.
Yeah, no, there's definitely some aspects to it which are of their time.
Yes, this is an episode that includes several aspects that are a little bit dodgier. It's a good story, but there's definitely elements of it that are a little bit questionable, like character design and stuff like that.
I think it's good that we show it and we can discuss it and we can understand it. See it in its original, you know.
And I haven't seen any of these and I haven't really read any of the books either. Oh, I've seen the movie, that's it.
So, and what do you think of the movie?
Fantastic. Yeah. A really good movie. It's probably one of the best movies that's been produced in recent years, I think.
Wow, that's a bit cool.
I think it is really good.
It is a good movie.
And it's a Steven Spielberg movie,
isn't it?
It's
so well done. So every aspect of it is really well done.
Yeah.
The story about Spielberg in that movie is when he made the Indiana Jones movie, someone said, oh, that's very like Tintin. And he said, oh, what's Tintin? And he was introduced to Tintin. And became a big fan, and then just obviously Peter Jackson was a big fan, and Stephen Moffat wrote the script to the Tintin movie.
Oh, interesting.
And he was going to script the following two, but then he got offered Doctor Who, and he said, I love Tintin, but Doctor Who comes first. Close to his heart. So he left and went back. But there was talk of he and Peter Jackson doing a Doctor Who movie, but it never got off the ground.
It'd be three movies long. It wouldn't be shot in England. It'd be shot in New Zealand, but it'd be the masterpiece of the ages.
So it says here they actually used frames from the book transposed straight to screen. And also they sort of pioneered the use of 3D in the series. When they went to the moon, Destination Moon, they used 3D animation for the rocket, then transferred that onto celluloid and then painted it. So
that's the one I remember reading the most. We've got a pop-up book of it somewhere as well.
Destination Moon wasn't one of my favourites. Amusingly enough, so we've got four Tintin books here on the table, and the reason we've got these four is because they were my favourite. So Secret of the Unicorn, because it's got pirate ships. Red Rackham's Treasure, which is part two of Secret of the Unicorn.
I was going to say, because it's
Cigars of the Pharaoh, which is just amazing Egyptian culture, and then The Blue Lotus, sorry, Cigars of the Pharaoh is probably a very strong misrepresentation of Egyptian culture. Exoticization of the Egyptian culture that's the Pharaohs. And mummies, ancient, and this
is what we're watching tonight, isn't it?
That's what we're watching.
Cigars of the Pharaoh. Yeah.
And then The Blue Lotus, which is part two of Cigars of the Pharaoh. But The Blue Lotus is, I would say, very problematic in some of its representations of Chinese, I think, Vietnamese culture. I can't
just
fully
see
remember.
By the cover.
Yeah.
Everywhere in Vietnam, there was Tintin stuff.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
This is very strange.
We saw no Tintin when we were in Vietnam. Yeah. But then it made sense.
T-shirts everywhere. Tintin in Vietnam. But there was no Tintin in Vietnam.
Yeah. Well, but then Vietnam was taken over by the French for a very long time. So there was so much French influence. And I couldn't understand before we went over there why we have banh mi, which is your Vietnamese roll. And I'm going, but a roll is not very Asian, like a bread roll. And then, it's that French baguette influence.
Yeah. Yeah, Vietnamese bakeries.
Which, so it makes sense that it would, it would be.
Do we have something here?
Tintin in Saigon. These are fridge magnets.
So there's
that one I think I bought at the museum in Belgium.
Tintin in Saigon.
Oh, look at that.
And it's him in the rickshaw or something. Is that right?
I reckon we've been there.
It's quite unusual that Tintin figures so heavily, but
we've been to
there is no such book.
That looks like the train station or the post office, like that nice French architecture.
So we've got several fridge magnets.
Yeah, this one's from Belgium.
And this is Tintin in Tibet.
Which is one of the books.
And what's the final one? It's
just
Tintin
and Snowy.
And Snowy.
So that one's from Belgium.
Got a small collection then.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, and we've got the DVDs here. It's a set of five DVDs, five discs.
Five discs for a total of 840 minutes runtime.
What is that ancient culture?
Yeah.
You know, old technology. It's a
fantastic
DVD.
The good thing is they need to buy it once.
And so we're playing off the DVD tonight, so we'll see if it actually plays properly because it's a library DVD.
We're watching a DVD tonight. This is so good.
Okay, so we'll get on and we'll watch The Adventures of Tintin, Cigars of the Pharaoh, and I guess we'll find out what people think after the break. Okay, off we go. So we've just watched Tintin, Cigars of the Pharaoh. What did people think? Baylor, what did you think of that? Have you seen that? You've seen that before, though.
I found it interesting that when I was a kid, I was like, yeah, absolutely, 100% for this. But now I'm like, eh.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it didn't hold up?
No, I don't think it held up for me. I remember loving it. I remember really adoring Tintin, but I don't adore it now.
So what part of it caused that change?
I think it was the moment that Tintin was saved and on the little sloop, and they had a, I guess, Romany representation on it.
But was it that he's from Lisbon? Where's Lisbon?
Lisbon's
Portugal.
In Portugal. Yeah.
So it was a Portuguese salesman.
Yeah.
But it all felt a little bit wrong in so many ways.
Yeah.
Like, that was one, so my mind automatically went to, this person's supposed to be, it's like, I thought he was supposed to be like a Romany, so because I don't know where Lisbon is, and so I was automatically triggered, and I'm like, that's not on.
Nah.
And so a lot of it just started making me go, I can't like it.
Yeah.
There was a lot of dodgy stereotypes
So Tintin's known for having a lot of stereotypes of cultures and for very heavily pushing for the that exoticization of
the Western colonialization.
There was definitely, as Mackenzie pointed out as well, there was definitely an issue with keeping everybody the right color, I guess.
And it was like good guys had lighter skin than the bad guys.
Yeah, that was definitely one of them. Another one was the Maharaja's son had dark skin or tan skin, and then in the final frame he had very light skin. Yeah. It sat in a bad spot with me, and I'm happy to say that I enjoyed it as a kid, but now I just don't think it holds up. Not with what we're trying to do in society and break down the barriers and stuff like that.
And Angus gave us that heads up at the beginning. He did warn us of that. Yeah. We knew it was going to happen, but
Yeah, but I thought, you know, oh, yeah, okay, I've got the warning. I remember watching it. Yeah. It would be better, but I just don't think even story-wise it was the great... I don't know. It wasn't just the racial stereotypes. It was... everything. Like, the most interesting thing I found was the animation, and even that I was like,
there was an interesting amount of plot holes, which I found was really interesting.
Yeah,
it cracked me up. I love the idea of how they were on the boat and it was like, oh, I've got to try and find my friend, can you just drop me off? And he just literally drops him off on some rocks in the middle of nowhere. And then the Lisbon sales guy gets off at the same time. Bye, have fun. You know, and they just kind of go their separate ways. He is literally in the middle of nowhere and then spends the next few days walking through the desert to try and find human civilization. Like, I think that sales guy's dead. Guys, I don't think he made it.
Who was the assassin?
And then he crashes in the jungle. I've got a lot of
questions.
Yeah.
And then he crashes in the jungle right where he needs to be.
Yeah, where there's all of the markings and stuff. Yeah. Whatever happened to Dr. Sarcophagus?
He just kept being influenced by the drug and just dancing in the streets forever.
Yeah.
So he was there, shown in the Maharaja's kind of celebratory
parade. Oh, he was there, was he? They must have found him. Okay.
Is he okay?
So in the second book,
here he is, he's shouting, "Hooray for Tutankhamun, a goal, a magnificent shot."
So he's still,
still around.
But it looks like he never quite recovered.
And so later that day, he's having cigars with the Pharaoh.
Yes. So in the Blue Lotus, he appears once or twice at the beginning, but basically they're being treated for therapy sort of thing and trying to go through recovery. There's a couple of characters that I think also suffer the madness curse who have the same sort of treatment throughout the book. But yeah.
They send him to the asylum.
I don't remember what actually happens in the end, whether they become sane or they just continue being bonkers.
No. He ends up in an ambulance being sent to the asylum.
At the end of the cigars.
And he said that he shows up in here getting treated.
Oh, okay.
It's just he doesn't know what happens at the end of that one. Right. Sorry, we'd moved on books while you were reading the end of that book.
Okay. You just have to buy the... In fact, we have the physical copies here comparing notes.
Yes, I'm having a look at the physical copy and seeing what's going on.
But yeah, I think that's where it sat with me, generally. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Kenzie, what did you think? It took us a while
It was good.
It took us a while to force you to watch it.
Only but I didn't like the scene when it's like... Which when scene? The skin changes.
In the end,
Oh, yeah.
What parts of it did you like?
I liked when it's like his friend kept on getting cheated in the neck.
And he started acting all wacky.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was painting the trees.
This was a hard sell for you, but when we removed all stimuli and made you just watch it, you actually kind of enjoyed it, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Would you like to watch any more, Mackenzie?
Mm-hmm.
You would? You can't not. It's a podcast.
So I would watch one more.
One more.
And then I'm done. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
No more Tintin for me. I've watched too much.
Angus, how did that hold up for you with all the various...
So I went through watching Tintin recently and went through a series when I found them. I think I found them on YouTube initially and then I watched them on Netflix, I don't think Netflix had all of them though. So I watched several on YouTube that weren't on Netflix. Netflix only had like the first 13 or some weird number.
And now it's on Prime, isn't it?
Now it's on Amazon
Prime. Yeah, I was about to look it up. We did see it the other day and we suggested it to Mackenzie and she was like, let's not. And so it was a nice coincidence when we got here today and this is what we were watching. I feel like Adrian would sit down and watch this. I think I don't know how much of it he remembers from when he was a kid, but I think he was giving the hard sell and he really enjoyed the movie. It's a real kind of, not wanting to gender it, but it is a real kind of
boys on adventure,
boys shown adventure.
Distinct absence of female
then there was like what,
Two
female characters. I'm trying to think who the second one was. I can only think of one.
Yeah, it was one of the...
The secretary, wife,
And the other one was just the movie
star. The actress.
Yeah.
And each time the women were they helpless. Fainted, didn't they?
Yeah.
Is that about normal from your recollection?
The only reoccurring female character that I know of is there's this opera singer who was in the movie.
Oh,
sings so loud she shatters glass. Yeah. Who is kind of Tintin's on okay terms, and Captain Haddock absolutely despises her and can't stand her singing at all. That's the only recurring character, while you've got Thompson and Thompson, you've got Captain Haddock, Tintin.
Professor Calculus.
Professor Calculus.
It's a real boys' club, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. it really is.
And that's very typical, I guess, of the mentality of the time that it was written. Men just tended to forget that women existed in the world.
Decoration. And I guess the genre as well. This type of genre as well. It's like, oh, why would a woman get? Why would a woman get involved in anything like this?
So, did you enjoy this, Alex?
It was okay. I think knowing all the problematic stuff we discussed already, it also just feels like a cheesy Tintin having to save the day, or to be getting on adventures and having nothing, no permanent scarring from any of that.
Yeah.
It just feels ridiculously cheesy. Obviously it's designed for kids to watch, like, adventure. It looked like
he flew out of the train there and then shattered the palm tree he hit. Coconut tree was broken that he collided with. Yeah. And he was fine.
It's just the huge amount of
superhuman then.
Huge amount of coincidence to make him be the hero of the story.
I'd like to rewatch this, and every time Tintin should have died, we take a drink. Apparently there's a drinking game of Home Alone, and the same thing. What is it, the Wet Bandits? Every time they should have really died, when one of the pranks happens, that you take a drink, and apparently you do not drive home. You get wasted.
So
we think there could be a Tintin drinking game.
100%.
Well, we'll release those rules later then. Jeanette, what did you think of Tintin?
It probably didn't hold my interest as well as it did when I originally watched it. But I like it. I think there's a lot of clever elements, but at the same time, I'm not sure I'd sit and watch it again. There's also all the problems as well.
Yes, there's lots of problems.
It's very problematical. Yeah. I do enjoy the movie because I think they try to filter a lot in the movie.
Yes.
I think now I'd probably rather watch the
movie. If they remake it.
Which has tried very hard, at least.
It'd be really good if they made a whole pile more of them.
Yeah, they intended to. Yeah. And every so often, you know, I hear hints that they might. I think since Stephen Moffat dropped out to go back to Doctor Who, I think that kind of just stopped.
Well, he's free now, isn't he?
He's done a few TV series since leaving Doctor Who, so...
Well, what's he done since leaving Doctor Who?
Time Traveller's Wife, he scripted.
Oh, the TV series!
There's another one he scripted.
Because I loved the book. I've got the book and I've read it several times, but the movie was bad. But I've heard the series is good, but I just haven't brought myself to start watching.
There's several other projects that his name is attached to. Yeah.
I think I've said before, because we keep going on to Stephen Moffat, there was a show I watched when I was a kid that used to be on ABC Kids, so like, I'm thinking, maybe about 10, called The Press Club?
Press Gang.
The Press Gang. I have The Press Gang. I got Adrian to get it for me because I loved it when I was a kid, and it's great.
Off his career as a writer.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think I've even heard of that one.
Yeah, and it had,
Julius
Sawala? I can't pronounce her name. What's his name? Dexter. I can't think of his surname, but he's a well-known director now. But yeah, there's a few people that you kind of see, and it was like, as it was one of their first starting roles, and they've gone on, and you kind of go, I know that guy from somewhere. Where do I know him from? And they've gone on and done other stuff.
Like a high school media, a paper or newsletter or something. I never saw it.
I loved it when I was a kid. It doesn't hold up as well. The writing is very ordinary, but yeah, it'd be interesting to watch for people who like there's Stephen Moffat to kind of compare to.
So, Jeanette, you were looking up, it's a Canadian company that
called Nelvana.
And they've made a few other things as well.
Yeah, so I found some amusing ones here. Clifford the Big Red Dog, Baba,
yeah.
They did this after that, and then Rupert. I really like their Rupert series.
Yeah, Rupert's really good.
Mm.
They did an animated Beetlejuice.
I remember that.
At one stage, they were going to do an animated Doctor Who series, but that got canned.
Mm-hmm.
But more amusingly, they did animated droids and Ewoks, and then they did the Star Wars Holiday Special of 1978. Oh. I thought that would amuse you.
Isn't that what we're watching this Christmas? That's our Christmas episode, isn't it?
Yeah. We have that in our Star Wars collection.
Because there's a couple of animated sections in the holiday special that they must have done.
This is the Star Wars mention. You can drink now.
This is the drinking game.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've now got to watch some of the rest, I think. So
I don't,
even though it's full of holes and it's a bit problematic, but I think I could watch some more, especially since I want to know some of the stories.
They don't get less problematic.
No, I doubt
just
they
warning
will.
You. No. It's just no, more of
don't
the
think
same.
So. No, I think they get more problematic.
Some of the character art in The Blue Lotus is terrible. There's, I think, a Japanese reporter.
Oh dear.
Or, I can't remember if they're a good character or a villain.
It depends, what's their skin colour?
Oh, he's just turning the book
I'm
over.
Showing the artwork.
Where am I looking? Oh, no!
No,
think of Breakfast at Tiffany's, Mickey Rooney.
I was thinking more like the films they made during World War II.
What was that?
Like the Looney Tunes films from World War II.
Oh,
when they were satirizing the Japanese business.
So, yeah, it's.
Which is probably the same, around the same era. It's not far off.
Yeah, basically, like big glasses, buck teeth.
Oh.
Yeah.
You're looking at the character
there.
Yeah,
nose as well.
Where, of course, I do believe in the movie, correct me if I'm wrong, but was there not a Japanese character in the movie?
Don't think so.
Okay. Because I remember there being characters from multiple nationalities in the Tintin movie, if memory serves at least. And they were all done relatively...
I was going to say, the fact that I don't even realise probably means that it wasn't problematic. So, it doesn't stand out.
And the cartoon, of course, follows the original artwork very closely. And so problematic character designs remain just incredibly problematic.
So apparently some stories were not adapted. There was Tintin in the Land of the Soviets. Tintin in the Congo.
Yeah, that's the one I remember the scene.
Due to issues around animal abuse and
really...
racist colonial attitudes towards native Congolese.
I remember seeing that one as a kid and I was like, what? Like
that
the comic and went,
And another one called Tintin and Alf Art.
Oh, that's because it was the one that he half finished before he died.
Yeah,
that's
so he didn't quite finish the book.
So Tintin in the Congo is not even advertised at the back of this Tintin book.
Yeah, that's cool.
There's Tintin and the Broken Ear, which may be Tintin on the Congo.
But no, because the first two books appearances he did in the original run in...
Broken Ear looks like it's South America.
It does.
I think it was like...
And of course that was Belgian colony and the Belgians.
Not the best. Basically, it's a sign of event to what happened when Leopold was just running it directly by his own, own fiefdom, and that was...
So one of the features of this is it very directly follows the books, doesn't it? It doesn't really veer, none of them veer at all.
I had a copy of the book just flipping through. This is what you're up to now. There are a few bits where they cut it.
Yes, they obviously didn't put in all the detail, but...
And they added in other stuff to make it, like, a comic relief and extend dialogue stuff. But otherwise, it's close enough that I could compare it to the book and follow it.
So you could actually have the book in front of you and be following along the storyline. Yeah. Okay, so I guess the question is, modern audiences... I guess we are the modern audience in a lot of ways, representative. So I guess there are some of those problems with it. Yeah.
I wouldn't advise modern audiences to watch it.
Watch the movie.
Unless you've got a really open mind. But watch the movie. Movie's fantastic.
Yes.
I think the TV show, if you're going to...
Maybe it depends on the episode. Like some episodes where they're doing it stuff in Europe and therefore the stereotypes won't be there.
I mean, looking at some of them... You've got Tintin in America. Front cover's not looking great on that one.
It's already American Indians.
Yeah, that
probably.
Was the one.
Yeah.
I have a feeling the Tintin in the Broken Ear, I think that is either South America or it's like rural North America.
No, I think that's jungle. I think it's
I feel like
South
Tintin
America.
Destination.
Yeah. Because then there's also Tintin and the Caqueros, which is like Incas and that's South America too.
So the Black Island is Scotland. That's probably okay. The shooting style's not really
what was
set
that,
anywhere.
Where's it set?
Scotland.
Yeah, so the shooting star's not really set anywhere, if memory serves.
It's not set anywhere.
It looks like Day of the Triffids.
It says nowhere.
But I feel like if you're really selective about what you watch from the cartoon, you might be okay. Even then, I'd just go movie and hope that they come out with these stories again. But reworked into a modern society. That's what I'd like to see. I think that would be really good.
So I was going to say, a lot of these stories are not only set in kind of like this exoticized view of the countries, but also kind of the ancient view of the country. So the Seven Crystal Balls,
Inquisitables and Prisoners of the Sun.
Prisoners of the Sun is set in basically a Mesoamerican city, and it's very kind of the time of like the Spanish invasion. It's kind of untouched by man in a weird way.
Yeah. Well, that's what we were saying. Like, you know, Kenzie's just looked at this Tintin in America, and Kenzie's like, that's not what America looks like at all. And I'm like, it's supposed to be on a Native American reservation, but even a Native American reservation in the 50s would not have old school teepees and it's leather,
I think even the Americans in that are kind of cowboyish in nature.
Oh, yeah, so he's gone to the Old West.
Yeah.
So it's like, what? Yeah. So if this was written in the 1950s, it's like on the 30s, So, you know, you kind of go, well, that's the 1930s, but that's still like, what, 80 years in the past?
It's a bit kind of dated.
Time travel. I mean, it's like if we watched a movie about people going to Australia and it looked like 1950s Australia. Mm. It's just like, like, it's completely out.
If you're going to sit down and watch this, watch it before Thanksgiving so you can get in the right mindset. Get into the headspace, watch Tintin. So it's there you go.
Good way to be able to deal with problematic family members.
Just to, like, really understand them and go, oh, okay, yeah, this is what I'm expected to say. This is how I'm expected to view the world.
No, see, it would be the opposite for me. I feel like I'd get angrier and then I'd be, like, wanting to vent and then it would just, you know.
You've had to tolerate the problematic side of things for longer.
Okay, so that was Tintin.
Hang on,
food. This was my suggestion. What would you choose for the food?
I feel like it's a family meal with the entire family.
Thanksgiving meal.
Or like a barbecue sort of get together, but like the American barbecue that everyone always complains about online, where it's like, oh, I've got to go see my 90-year-old racist grandmother today. I'm not looking forward to it. And they're, like, dressed up in rainbows and everything. Like, I imagine that's where the food would be at. It'd be uncomfortable. Mm. You don't love to see it, but, you know, it's so there.
So, barbecue spare ribs.
No, don't
they do that? Waffles. I feel like
it has
to be waffles.
No, it'd be a roast dinner with an entire family. That's what it'd be. It'd be like that awkward sort of, you've got to converse with other people. This isn't just a meal. This is an experience.
I feel like this is, you know, when you go to an Asian restaurant or an Indian restaurant or like a restaurant that's supposed to have food from another culture and you get there and
it's run by white people.
And it's all the food is completely Western. It's unflavored and Western and
lemon chicken.
I think, have you been to the Bombay Bicycle Club?
No.
It's basically, it's designed as if you're in India, which is what we think India looks like, but it's not. And so it's very much a colonialist British Raj style of India.
Well, which I guess Bombay Bicycle Club, it is that real Western Indian. Yeah. Years ago, I think they did it as a bit of a joke anyway, but my husband took his workmate who'd come over from China, and our family and his family, we all went to a local Chinese restaurant. It was such a great night, though, because, he went over and he said, look, you know, can you get me something authentically Chinese? And they're like, cool, we can do that. Off they go. And he got the food and he's like, this is not Chinese food. And so then we were going through the menu and whatever. And then my husband's like, oh, you have to have some fried ice cream for dessert. And he's like,
What's
fried ice cream? We're like, oh, you can only get that when you go to a Chinese restaurant. It's a Chinese restaurant dessert. And he's like, I am Chinese and I have never heard of that.
So he got
fried ice cream for dessert, and he said he goes, look at this, I'm having authentic Chinese cuisine. This is such a treat. He just took it as the joke that it is. But this is
fried ice cream.
Western interpretation of what an authentic culture and their food is supposed to be.
Yeah.
Agree.
Yeah.
That's good. That's a nice one.
Okay.
Why turkey?
You're with turkey?
Yeah. Because it's like Thanksgiving. You eat turkey on Thanksgiving.
So you're just going back to what Baylor had?
Yeah.
Because if Baylor says it, it's a thing, you know?
It's cool. It's cool.
Baylor says it, it's my thing.
Yes.
I have a follower.
Yes. I think it should be fried ice cream on waffles just for the Belgian
Yeah. Of course, that's what that. I was like, what's with the waffle thing?
I was
Belgian waffles.
Belgian waffles, yes.
Yeah, but you like waffles. This is the thing. We're trying to keep away from stuff that we like.
Hey, I like fried ice cream as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't like the fried
ice. I'm with you on that. It's wrong. It's wrong.
I've never heard of fried ice cream.
It is almost a 70s.
Yeah, it's a scoop of ice cream covered in batter.
I don't think I'd
try it.
Yeah, it's a deep fried ice cream with batter on it.
Literally deep fried ice cream.
I was like Mackenzie's age when I first got introduced to deep fried ice cream. And my parents were like, yeah, you've got to do this. It'll be amazing. It was awful. Like it was absolutely awful.
I only ate the ice cream bit.
I didn't eat any of it. It was all just, the ice cream was melting and it wasn't melting on my terms. Like, if you're going to have ice cream, you know, you kind of like mash it all up and get it to like that whipped cream sort of stage and then you eat it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, this is like a big scoop, like, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
No, you're all terrible people.
Okay, so that was Tintin, fried ice cream.
Yeah.
It's the first time everyone's agreed with
me. Insisting on the waffle.
With a waffle. Okay, so that was the Cult TV Club, and everybody say bye.
Bye.
Arf, arf.